رحلة نجاح بودكاست is a podcast where I share the journeys of successful people from Egypt and the Middle East and all around the world. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on all social media platforms, podcast platforms, and just subscribe to Rehlat Nagah on our YouTube channel. Let's listen to the next episode. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are around the world. Today we have an amazing guest on our podcast. This amazing guest, I haven't read her amazing story yet. We have a common friend, and we're going to call her Michelle Falzone, the angel. So with us is an amazing public speaker and emotional intelligence mentor. Alaa, how are you doing? How is everything?
I'm very well, thank you. And what about you?
I'm fine. So you're before we started, you're talking from UAE, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
And you're Iraqi, right? Correct?
I would consider myself a cocktail, but yeah.
Okay.
I guess the roots run deep, and yes.
Okay, great. So, you know, usually we always like to start off with a very, you know, cliche question that we all use. So I want you to tell me exactly your journey, and it's the first time for me to know about an emotional intelligence mentor. So the mic is yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, I mean, right now I'm balancing the meaning of emotional intelligence and my journey. So what I'm going to try to do is actually bring them in both together to have, you know, a more meaningful idea of what it really is.
Okay.
So it's pretty much becoming aware and conscious of who you are and being able to understand the emotions that, you know, the emotional waves that come in and go out, and how to shift your energy when you're in a certain emotional state, like stress, for example, or you're feeling down or overly excited. So how to really balance your energy within yourself. And it comes with practice. It comes with a lot of challenges that you face in life and how to deal with them, because by, you know, as of now, with the journey that I've been through, I realize it's never really the challenge that you face that actually puts you in that emotional turmoil. It's your emotional turmoil putting you through whatever challenge you do face, because you can face the same challenge, you know, it's like a cycle. It keeps repeating itself because you are using the same type of emotions. However, when you start becoming aware and understand that, you know, these processes need to happen in order for you to break these cycles. And so when you face a similar challenge again, you'll use a different approach when it comes to your emotional state. So the more you become aware and conscious of who you are, the more you become aware and conscious of your surroundings and everyone else. And then you become more, you have more empathy, compassion, and you start to understand the difference between kindness and being nice, and just all the different types of emotions. And when you're angry, is there really a reason for me to be angry? Or what am I angry about? Mm-hmm. So understanding what you are feeling and how to deal with whatever you're facing. So
yeah, that's really amazing you're saying that, because you know, I'm a mindfulness coach, so of course emotions is part of our you know, gig, if you want to say that, or what we say, and like you said, of course, when we talk about emotions or being mindful, we talk through our experiences and our traumas and our challenges that we face on a day-to-day transaction. And you know, For example, I've been fa facing some challenges for the past few weeks. It's not new for me, but some challenges. So I've been working so hard because I work three different jobs at the same time, and I wanted to stop and pause because I was, burning out so much that I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop thinking. So I'm glad that you're saying this because a lot of people would think, both of us, that we're amazing, we're awesome, we're great, we have no problem, life is peachy, and everything is cool. And they don't really know that we have our emotions, and we're just human beings like everyone else, but we know how to deal with it. That's the difference.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. I agree. And I mean, we both know that the only way to come this far is because of coming so far. So
Yes,
it's a
yes.
choice that we had to
Yes.
make, because either we stay down in the gutter and we stay there, or we choose to do things differently to see different results.
Of course, of course, of course. So what how did your journey start?
Oh. How did
Yeah.
it not start? Well, it actually started when I had become, let's say, I don't, well, it's, oh, it's so, it's, I'm trying, I'm going back, but as I'm going back, I see, wait, there's another story before that. And wait, there's
Okay.
another story before that.
Okay.
So it was, and let's just say it started off with my entire life living in fear.
Okay.
Ever since I was a child and grew into an adult, it was all fear-based. Fear of everyone, fear of my own shadow, fear of what would happen next, fear of what if this going wrong, a fear of if I got married, would it be bad? Fear of like losing my life because I got sick, fear of losing my job, fear. It was just fear was eating me internally. So, and I wasn't aware of that actually. I wasn't aware that I was actually fearful of everything. I thought this was just the way, this was the norm. I mean, everybody goes through this and everybody goes through fear, and you have to try harder, be nicer, give more, do more. But I never understood of the meaning of just being and allowing it to happen and facing it. I was always fearing it. So
And is this fear because of, because of your family? Because, families in the Middle East as a whole are always, they always have that, idea of don't do that, don't go there. Even my parents, I mean, I traveled the world. My father's a diplomat, so I've seen different cultures, and I've seen how, but still, the social norms of both my parents and myself, and even my wife and her family, they're still there. We're always fearful of everything. And this is, it's really amazing what you said, because a lot of people come to me and they say to me, well, I'm afraid to lose my job if I, for example, go after my passion. And I tell them, well, you won't know if unless you do it. I mean, you have to take it, because every risk, there is a fact of fear in it, of course. I mean, you cannot deny it. I mean, I'm not going to tell someone, yeah, leave your job and do what you want, and don't worry,
be
nothing's going to
afraid.
happen, and don't be afraid. No, I mean,
Yeah.
yes, there is a fact of fear. But my question to you is, on this issue, do you think, in your opinion, as an expert in emotions, do you think our parents try and ingrain the fear factor when we're very little, and so we grow up having fear of any decision, not a fear of dying, but of any decision in life?
Absolutely. I mean, it starts off as that, but then as I grew up and understood more, it's not the concept of them being the reason, but more of everyone was playing a part of it, the entire society. So our parents feared something because of societal ways, and those people in those societies feared the same thing because of these societal ways. So it was kind of like an ongoing turmoil that everyone preferred to have a certain image in front of others. So it's kind of it's fearfulness mixed in with selfishness, in my
Okay.
opinion.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And you know, this is why I have a lot of problems, and I don't know if you agree. Of course, us weird people,
Yes, the chosen weird ones.
the weird ones, the ones that don't really fit in the box that society draws for us. We're always looked, why do you want to do that? Why it's not so not you. Why don't you be normal like other people? I get that a lot of those comments, you know, even till now. I mean, I've been doing this podcast for a while, and a lot of people till now, why are you doing this? You're wasting your energy. Why don't you do something different? And families and friends, I mean, I know they mean well,
Exactly.
you know, I know they mean well, but they don't understand. And I cannot change the way they think, and I cannot change the way I think, because the way I think is different. Because and I'm proud to be unique.
Yeah, I agree. And I would love to, because it's kind of connected to what you're saying now with the question that you asked me. You had asked me, does is the fear base coming from the way we were raised? So I was raised in Canada, but my family had me wear the head scarf when I was 8 years old. So, I was always bullied, because I was literally the only person that was not white with blonde hair and colored eyes, and I was like the outcast. So of course the fear started then, and then the fear not only with what I had to face at school and the Western society, but also being a bad girl in front of the Arabic Muslim society. So it was the fear of disappointing my parents, but then I just thought that that's just the way that life was, right? But then as I grew older, I realized that no, I need to make a decision. Am I lying to myself and lying to others and lying to, my God? Like, or do I want to live my truth and my authenticity? So having to have faced that, and I knew my parents were very strict when it came to this, but I still faced them. So I got the whiplash of, you're not my daughter anymore, we disown you, and this and that. And that's where I became even more aware of the sense of selfishness in others, even though they were family and friends and they meant well. They meant more well for themselves and their image than they actually meant, for the weird, unique ones like us. Because I do get this a lot too. Like, I had really close family members who were saying to me, "What are you doing? What is coaching? You're wasting your time. You're wasting this, and all of this." And I said, "Okay, that's your perspective." But then once they saw the change in me, once they saw how passionate I was about this, something shifted within them, because I was just allowing what they were saying rather than becoming in defense mode or trying to have them understand. Because one day you will see and you will understand for yourself, and everyone goes through this journey, and eventually they'll either awaken themselves or stay in that state. But like you said, it's not in our hands. We can't really
Of
change
course,
them.
of course, of course. I mean, I totally agree with you, Ale, because you know, we choose who we want to be. We choose our path, consciously or subconsciously. I always say that even in workshops, or you choose your path, even if you take people's opinion. At the end of the day, you're the one who chooses the path. So either even if the path is wrong or correct, you're gonna choose it. And the problem is, you're not gonna choose it because you want to choose it. No, you're gonna choose it because God will push you on that track without you even knowing it. I mean, you know, I always say we as human beings are very weak, and we have our own plans. But it never becomes the plan that we want. It is the plan that God's will wants us to go on.
Yes.
I agree with you, and I totally empathize with what you're saying about the headscarf and so on. I had the same issue. I'm a son of a diplomat, so every 4 years I traveled from Cairo to a different country, different school, different system, different biases, different stereotypings. Okay, ever since I was a little until senior year, it was the same but on different levels. And every time I come back to Egypt, I get bullied also because I don't belong here. I mean, I said that to Michelle in her book Healing Horizons. I never belonged anywhere. I neither belonged in my own society or abroad. I belonged nowhere, and maybe that is what made me unique today, is that the ability to talk to you and to talk to Michelle, and at the same time understand the people who live in my society and talk to them with their mindset and their language. So you lived in Canada, and then where did you live in Canada?
So we went every year. I changed schools. So we went from Montreal to Ottawa,
Okay.
Toronto, Niagara Falls, then back to Toronto.
Okay. All right.
So, and I studied there, finished there, graduated in Toronto, and then I came to Abu Dhabi to start work. So yeah, I had graduated as an architect. So I
Okay.
came here because, the country, mashallah, was booming with architecture and the new buildings and everything was
Yeah, of
just.
course.
Yeah, so I started there, but then I'm like, what? I don't want to be in front of a, computer screen for 10 hours a day. I'd rather be more in touch with humanity, and I wanted to be around people, but I didn't understand what it is I wanted. But I love, there was a point that you just said right now about not belonging. So at one point I had felt that, and then I always asked myself, why is it that I came back to an Arabic country when I always told myself I will avoid it no matter what the costs are? I will, stay in a Western society.
Oh, yeah.
But I realized that there was a certain of essence, not only for me to learn here, but also to bring in with me, to bring in the balance between all humanity. It does not matter the backgrounds or the country that we're in or the society, but to just have really one belief, and the belief is niyyah. What is
Yes.
your intention,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
Because when you have
Yes.
a good intention, you just become different.
Of course, of
So,
course, of course, of course. The
yeah.
good intention is, like, for example, I had my intentions with for Michelle. She was just a guest, but it grew more of a friendship. And I always tell her, I'm so glad and blessed to have someone like her, and to have someone like you, and to have someone like everyone who I interview, because I feel that we all connect together as human beings. Problem today, as you can see, as everyone can see, humanity has become, disconnected from each other, literally. And I don't claim that I can change humanity's mindset or whatever, but all I can claim is that we can try to make it a little bit better for the next generations, maybe a little bit through our, authentic and vulnerable, discussions. So I wanted to ask you something, because this, question in your during your journey, why do you think people view vulnerability as weakness?
Oh yeah. Well, because each person views themselves differently, so they project. So when they are vulnerable, sometimes I'll turn it in towards me. For example, when I used to be in a vulnerable state, I used to think that if I shared my vulnerability, either someone will save me or they will destroy me. And then if they save me, Maybe I owe them something back. So it goes back to the fear-based, right? Because when you're vulnerable, you are being internally naked. So you're being, open with someone who can destroy you with whatever you say, your secrets, your needs, your wants. And so the fear comes in of, okay, if I show vulnerability, I'll get attacked in some way. It'll come back on me because I don't have the security enough within myself to know that whether they destroy me or not, it's okay. Because I see myself as weak. Nobody else can see me as that unless I give them that power. So if I give my power away and say, please don't destroy me, I'm telling you this, don't tell anybody the secret. And if I, if anyone finds out, that is showing my own weakness that someone can use against you. So it's always coming from a place of who you are. It doesn't matter how people will perceive you, no matter what. I could be here and vulnerable, but I'm so passionate and I'm so strong within myself, I'm a complete different person to who I was before. But someone may see my kindness as weakness. So they're like, oh, okay, we can take advantage of her. Let them think what they want to think,
Of course,
right?
yes.
Because eventually I know what I'm doing for me. So,
So you came back here. You wanted to be an architect, and then you didn't want to be an architect.
no.
I do understand. Excuse me. I do understand that you want to be an architect, and then something, hits you. And I want to know what hits you to become a life coach and and a mentor. And I know there are a lot of life coaches around the world, but it's good to understand why you changed your perspective.
I always knew that there was something else that I wanted to do with helping others, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know that life coaching ever existed. I didn't know these kind of trainings and mentorings happened. I just thought seeing a psychiatrist was the only way. So, and if I go to a psychiatrist again, fear, I'm going to be weak. I'm being vulnerable, and so
And
I'm not strong enough
you shouldn't
and.
go and see a psychiatrist because they would think you're crazy and
Right? And they'll
I
label
understand.
me, and maybe they'll give me medication, and I don't want to take it. So it's all of
And
these assumptions and fear-based thoughts that really, don't really exist.
of
But
course.
nonetheless, it was a point I couldn't handle the fact that I was facing a computer screen. So then I went back to Canada, and then I got a teaching certificate as an English teacher. So I came back to Abu Dhabi and taught at the British Council as an English teacher to adults. And there was something there, it was like a spark, but I still didn't know what it was. Like I loved helping them, but I didn't like teaching English. So I'm like, what is this? I love helping them, but there's something here. So I was more of a friend because I was very young. I was maybe 24 when I had done that. And they were all older than me. So the students were older than me.
Of
But
course.
And then when I was there, it was just a progress, really, until this one lady walked into where I was working as in a corporate entity. And I was so amazed by her energy. Like she just walked in and she had this like a boom. I was like, what is that? I want that. What is this? I'm like, who are you and what do you do? And I was so excited because she had come in to actually propose trainings to our entity and wanted to speak to the HR director. And I ended up taking coaching sessions with her. And I was so in love with what the changes that were happening within me. And that's what really sparked the aha moment. And, but can I do this? Am I equipped for this? Do I have the skills for this? So that's where the journey really took light. And that was in 2015. Ooh.
Fifth. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
that's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, it's good that you realize it early on that that you needed to change, that there was a spark. I think that we are built, you and I, differently. I don't know. I'm just, maybe assuming. I don't like to assume, but I'm going to say that we are built in a different way that if something sparks, then we change completely, and we risk a lot of other things and sacrifice a lot of other things for that one moment to become
True.
inspiring. And I think I can see, your authenticity and your energy. You are contagious, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I've been let me be really honest. I've been waiting for you for this episode since in the morning, but
Oh, nice.
my energy level was, really low. I've been overworked and overwhelmed for the past few weeks. That's I have no energy to do any kind of work in the morning, and your energy boosts me. So definitely,
Oh.
without your coaching, I think it's just who you are. I mean,
I appreciate that. That's
yeah,
very
of
lovely.
course.
Thank you.
I mean, it's really amazing, your journey, and I want to ask you one more question I have. Do people come up to you, and especially let's talk about young ladies, because I think young ladies will connect more to your journey than men. I don't know. I'm just assuming again, and they want to be like you, and want to be successful like you. So what are the tips, tricks, or what how do you help these young women who are vulnerable more than men at that time?
Yeah, I mean, especially in this, in our society, like the our cultures and our societal ways, most of them come to me with, again, that fear-based, what if my family doesn't accept, what if this and what if that? But that's where showing them love and respect, really looking at the woman in front of me or the girl in front of me. And seeing the beauty within her, like sometimes I could just look at her and just her smile, lights up my heart. So telling her that, or noticing the little things, or the way she, speaks, or a sentence that she says. So the more I articulate her and give her feedback, but it's not really feedback. Like I'm not sitting there watching her to, analyze her, but I just see it. Like I would choose to see the beauty in her rather than choosing to see the fear in her, because at one point I was there as well. So I share that. I share the love that I have for her as a being, because she was also created by the one and only creator of life. So if I don't appreciate her, that means I'm not appreciating the creator,
Of
which means I'm
course.
not appreciating myself.
Of course.
So I really connect on a level of friendship and sisterhood before I start off with anything, and ask certain questions like, what is it that you want to change? Is it your outcome of a certain situation? Are you here to look for how do I do this? Or are you here to choose how to be, do I become like this in order to choose that? So if it's a journey of wanting to change, how they see the world within, like I'm scared to go out, I'm scared to tell the truth, I'm scared to get a divorce, I'm scared to get married, I'm scared to fall in love, all of these things, just to go really deeper as a friend before I actually coach them or mentor them or connecting. It's a relationship of I see you, I hear you, and I'm here for you, and I will not judge you.
Yes, that's really important what you say. I mean, and through the podcast, I try to also, if you've listened to it or listened to most of the episodes, you find that 90% of my guests are ladies. That is a subconscious thing. I don't know how I do it, but I have, some belief that women are challenged more all over the world. It's not just our area of the world, everywhere. The Western world, the Eastern world, they're challenged. And so when they face the challenges, they always want to prove to all the doubters that I can do that, that I can become as good as my male counterparts. And that's what amazes me, because I want to be the voice of empowering women in the region and telling them it's okay to do what you want. It is not against our culture, it's not against the religion, it's not against societal norms to ask for. These ladies are living with us. They're not, super women. They're very normal moms who have their life and who have their children and they have all the challenges in the world. But if they want to do something, nothing would stop them. I mean, so I really am honored to have beautiful people around me, and the idea is, like you said, I have people, ladies, who are my support system, who when I talk to them, they never judge me. They never say that I'm, at fault. And at the same time, when they talk to me, I never judge them, because the first rule of being mindful is never judge. Don't judge. You don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's so amazing. I'm really proud that finally met someone like you who's helping young ladies in the region, and I wish we can do more. Do you agree?
I agree. And we are doing more. Oh, absolutely. Because I always believe that the woman holds a special place when it comes to life, right? Because we birth life. So the type of love that we carry within us and for others, our energy emanates from us somehow as mothers, as wives, as sisters, as daughters. So having a balance within ourselves has a balance within our family and our surroundings. And of course, I'm a single mom of two kids. So I've been through it. I have my own kids, so I know the challenges of being a
So
mom.
how old are your kids?
Ooh, okay.
So you see
So,
that we have very, very different questions on the podcast, very
right?
serious ones and very personal ones. But
It's fine.
I love to know more. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
because I mean, the personal is a part of this journey,
of
right? And the
course,
growth.
of course.
So my daughter is turning 11 in
Wow, mashallah,
2 weeks.
mashallah.
Yeah.
Okay, all
And my
right.
son is turning 4 in a month.
Oh,
So,
mashallah, you have a handful. I mean,
oh my God. And feet, leg full, hand and legs full. Yeah.
I have two sons. I have two boys.
Mashallah.
But I
Yeah.
have different generations and a big gap. So I have a son who's 17. So he's
Okay.
driving me nuts on the other side of teenagehoods, and
Years,
that stage of life where he knows everything and we don't
yeah,
know anything.
exactly.
And I have another son who's 8, who's still growing up a lot, and thinks he knows everything because he takes all his information from YouTube and TikTok. And he's driving me crazy also because he doesn't believe in education. He doesn't believe in school. He believes in having fun. And I think, with you as a mom, or me as a dad, I think these kids have we have to respect their own mindset and beliefs. It's not I definitely I understand, of course, that he has to go they have to go to school and everything, but they have their own beliefs. I mean, they have their own talents, and we should encourage them to have both. The problem is we don't, and we never encourage the kids. We always want them to
To be
learn.
honest with you, I agree with your younger son.
Yeah, of
Forget
course.
about education. It's all about having fun. It really
Yeah.
is, because when you're in a state of having fun, you understand what you love to do. And
Yeah.
when you know what you love to do, you can really turn and tune into that and make it your career, right?
Okay. Okay.
But the school, like I graduated as an architect, then I became an English teacher, then I worked in event organizing, then media communication, and now I'm here, right? Finally doing what I love to do. Exactly, finally. So I wish I was pushed towards this earlier, because I remember in school when I had my first presentation in front of the class, and I had, you know, those cards, the cheat sheet cards that you're allowed to have. And it's just like, you know, that's how it was. I loved it. Like, it was such an amazing feeling for me, but nobody told me, hey, you can continue with that. And it was so much fun. Like, I could have, you know, if I tuned into that, I could have known myself more. But I guess it showed me a door. So the door was always there, but I never was taught to take it. I was always, you have to work hard to become something. You have to do this, you have to be this. So it was always a have to instead of just do it, just be it.
We are
So
I agree with you. It's again, it goes back to social norms. You have to have a job. You have to. My father is a civil servant, so in terms of his experience, you have to stay in the job forever. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And Gen Z now shows us differently. They don't like to work more than, I don't know, maybe a year, and they want to go somewhere else, or 2 years. I mean, their turnover is super quick. Like, they're thinking super quick. Everything is quick, and they want to. So the idea of me being like my father and staying forever, it's not like that at all. Like I said, I should do what I want to do, and parents should try and push kids to do what they want to do, because I think they're quite smart, smarter than us. I mean, they know what they want to do, maybe because of the technology. I don't know. You might agree or disagree, but I don't
Could be, actually, or it could be that we're awesome parents as well. We're different to the, you know,
I
the type
hope.
of parents that we had, right?
I hope so. I hope we're awesome parents. I mean, parenthood is not. I mean, it's a challenging journey. In actual
is.
fact, you know, it is a challenging journey, because you try and be assertive, be strict, and at the same time try and be, you know, open a little bit more than the parents that you grew up with. So it's quite a difficult balance.
Exactly. Well, we are giving them the courage and strength as they are younger. So we don't know what the outcome is, but
I believe in one more thing, that kids should have life coaches. I mean, early.
yes,
Yeah,
I agree.
I think that is what's missing in school, that they
I
should have
agree.
life coaches. As young as your son or my son, I mean, they have some kind of idea of what they do. So usually what I do with my lovely guests, I ask them two more questions, and usually it's a very weird questions, but I'm gonna ask you.
All
So
right, true.
one word, one sentence that best describes.
That best describes me.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, it's a weird one.
I love it though, because I have
Yeah.
like all these brainstorming words coming in, like, you
Oh,
know. Okay, love for life.
nice. I love it. Love for life. Oh, yeah. So now you're gonna be angel also. Angel, Michelle Angel. So I'm gonna have a lot of angels
Oh,
coming together. I mean,
I love it. Yes.
yeah, bless you,
Thank
really.
you.
So my last question to you is, what's your dream, personally or professionally? or if you have one here and one here, or if they're both the same.
That's the tricky question, because I had dreamt something a long time ago, and I had dreamt to be a leader by example. And I had to go through all these challenges thrown at my face because it was a dream that I had dreamed. So I could have never become a leader by example without having to go through the examples. So my dream is unfolding in front of me. The challenges that I've been through are a part of my dream, and it's only to make me more grounded, stronger, and lead by example.
All right. So that's really amazing, and I hope that we can work together in the future,
Oh, that's lovely.
because I believe that our region needs a lot of emotional support.
Yes.
A
We're
lot.
here.
We're here.
We're
We're
here.
here. We're here, and we're always open for anyone who wants to, contact us, contact Ale, or contact me. We are always here. We are always able to lend our ear to whoever needs our support. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm really honored to have you, and I'm really honored that you're part of Michelle's Healing Horizon. I haven't read all the stories yet, to be honest, because I have a long list of books I haven't finished, and the year is almost done.
Thank you. I understand.
But her book is on the list to be read on my bucket list. I thank you, and I really had an amazing conversation. I hope you had an amazing conversation also, because I believe you're such an amazing coach and an amazing person.
Thank you. I sure did. I mean, the reason why you feel this way is because you also like this. So I have a lot of fun, right? It's like the energy exchange was very, very smooth. So it felt like I've known you forever rather than, this is our first meeting. So I loved it, and I really look forward to more because
Of course, of course.
it's so rare.
I think we can do something, you and I and Michelle, on a bigger scale, and we can, have some kind of content or discussion.
I would actually really love that. I mean, hopefully one day we can meet each other in person. I mean, I'm just gonna.
I hope so. I hope so.
Why not? Are you in Egypt?
In Cairo. Yes.
Oh, I love
Yes.
Cairo.
Please come. It's an awesome city. I love it. I mean, it has its charm, and it has its, not so charming things, but most of all, it has its charm. I love Cairo. I mean, with all its bustling and crowdiness, and but I wouldn't want to live anywhere else,
That's beautiful.
So
Love that.
come over. I invited Michelle also. I told her to come
Oh,
to come in
maybe we should
Christmas.
come at the
Come in Christmas. I mean,
same
Christmas.
time. That would be amazing.
Christmas in Egypt is so amazing. I mean, we have all the things, Christmas trees and everything, and
Oh.
festival and
That's so
everything. So
lovely.
come, and the weather is, it's not too hot. It's slightly cold, but it will be nice. It will be nice.
We
So.
love cold.
Yeah,
We're warm.
great, great.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not as cold as Canada's, of course. So,
so I love it.
you can call Michelle and surprise me and come. I mean,
Yes.
bring her over. Tell her, come
We'll
on, let's
talk.
go, let's go.
Right?
Of
Why
course.
not? I mean, it's the spontaneous thing, journeys like this that actually make the difference. So I'll let her know.
And she comes, and we do like a physical podcast in a physical studio. So that will be,
Oh, that sounds exciting. Okay.
I will wait for you and we'll do it together.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Why not?
Thank you a lot for today. It was such an
Thank
amazing
you.
episode, full of a lot of energy. I really enjoyed our discussion. I hope we can continue in the future with other endeavors. I wish you all well, and I wish you happiness, and I hope your family is happy and doing well. Thank you, thank
Likewise.
you, thank you, thank you for today. Thank you for everyone for listening for today's episode. Next week we're gonna have a different guest with a different journey. So stay tuned, and God bless you and keep safe.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.